Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, the first one of 2024. I am your host, Derek Hoskins. If you're new here, I will be the one taking you on this journey into 2024. Normally, I would have my wonderful co-host with me, Mr. Ian Torrance, the glue. However, he is still on his break and will not be back until at least next week. We'll see how scheduling goes, but he will be back. I promise we are not going into this 2024 season with just me shouting into the ether. However, you are going to have to put up with that tonight because I did not want to let any more time go by without talking about What If Season 2, and that is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. So, before we dive into it, I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday season, a happy, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. I hope all of your resolutions are going phenomenally. Everybody's losing weight and eating less and being better people or whatever you chose to do on your resolution for this year. I hope that everything is going great. Mine has already failed, and that's okay. But without any further ado, I'm going to jump right into knocking my microphone and making loud noises. I apologize to everybody who's listening with headphones. We're going to jump right into What If Season 2. This will not be a long episode. I'm just going to break down my thoughts on the season as a whole, maybe hit a couple of the highlights, maybe a couple of the low points. And we'll get right in and right out of this. As for season two of What If, I was actually looking forward to this quite a bit. I did not love season one. You can go back and look at our review for each of those episodes. But season one of What If, I think they had some great ideas. I think it ended very strong, but overall, I think that they didn't take the big swings that I wanted them to take in something like a What If show. And so I wasn't overly enthusiastic about season two, but the trailers looked great. There were a couple of things I was really excited about, and I wanted to see where they would go, how much deeper they would go. Were they going to make another storyline that converged like they did in the first season? Were they going to keep it just the anthology route? And I didn't know what they were going to do. So we're going to go ahead and break down the things about season two that I didn't like first. And then we will hop into the things that I like, because I'll tell you now, spoilers, I think season two was an absolute phenomenal win. There are only a couple of things that I didn't love, and I'm very excited to see where they go moving forward. So as far as season two, the things that did not work for me, the overarching story that they were telling in this season, I didn't love. That was actually something that I didn't like about the first season. I didn't want it to converge on itself and wrap up in a big season finale. I understand why they do that. It makes sense. It's a TV show. It's not a comic book. You want something to build so that you keep people hooked all the way through the season and then feel like they've got a nice satisfying conclusion. So I do understand why they did it. However, I'm not big on the idea in a series like this having an overarching story that brings everything together. I don't think that it's necessary. And unfortunately, for me, the overarching story in this kind of converged around what I think has been the biggest problem character for What If, and that's Captain Carter. Now, I like Peggy Carter in the MCU. I think Hayley Atwell is great. I love that she wants to keep coming back and do this character. She wants to voice the character, play it as much as possible. I love that. I like the idea of Captain Carter in general. I like the character. My problem is the Captain Carter episodes from season one and season two, her centric episode where it's just about her story. It is too formulaic of what Captain America was. What If should be a little more diverged instead of just kind of the same storyline, but with Captain Carter. That's what happened in season one of What If, in my opinion. It was just Captain America, but they just swapped out the characters. In this, it was Winter Soldier. They just swapped out the Hydra Stomper for Bucky and, of course, Peggy for Steve. It didn't take away from my enjoyment of that episode. And again, I really like the character, but I don't quite understand the MCU's push for Captain Carter in this show. I don't know that she's the best focal point. I think that they need to move past these same characters. Same thing with, even though I loved the episodes with Iron Man in them, I think it's time for the MCU to move past the characters that they've established and that they put a lot of time into and start branching out and doing different things. However, that being said, you know, I understand why she's a popular character. I did like her in this. Again, I love Hayley Atwell. I think it's a good character. I found myself having fun. But that little drawback of, oh, why, you know, they're really leaning into Captain Carter. And I don't know that that's the best thing to do moving forward. I would much rather them, if they're going to lean into an existing character, something that's already been there, lean into one of the newer characters that isn't tied so closely to phase one of the MCU. You know, make Shang-Chi one of the characters that you're really going to lean into. You know, let Sylvie be one of the characters you're going to lean into. You know, even somebody like Cassie Lang, you know, bring her up into it. Yelena, you know, somebody that they've brought in, even Kate Bishop, just somebody that they've brought in later on in phase four and after, or phase four or phase five, to kind of push forward and be the focal point around everything. Because that was very much Steve Rogers and Tony Stark in phases one through three. And without them, the MCU is kind of lacking a centralized figure for the fans to rally to. And I think they really need that. Somebody that really could have done it, I think Miss Marvel would have been great. I think that Iman Vellani's Kamala Khan is such a breath of fresh air for the MCU that they really should be focusing on her more, in my opinion. So anyway, so that was my biggest takeaway that I didn't love, is just the fact that it was an overarching story again, that the last couple of episodes kind of just pressed a story together really fast and made it this big climactic finale. Not that I didn't love the finale, not that I don't love Supreme Strange. I think he's a very fun villain, but it just didn't work for me as much as I would have hoped it would. And as far as drawbacks go, really in this season, that was it. I really enjoyed each story that was in this, with the exception, like I said, of the Captain Carter episode, the Hydra Stomper episode, because again, it was just Winter Soldier with two characters changed around, essentially. I know they did some changes to the story, but it still seemed very formulaic to that Winter Soldier storyline compressed into a, you know, 30-minute show. But other than that, each of these episodes were really, really interesting for different reasons and different ways. The first episode of Nebula joining the Nova Corps. First off, I mean, if you're watching this on video, I'm a fan of Nova, if you can see behind me. I love Nova. I'm looking forward to Nova coming into the MCU. So anything we get with Nova Corps makes me very happy. And the fact that they made it this sci-fi, crime, noir, kind of Blade Runner-esque episode was really entertaining and interesting. It was dark, it was gritty. I love the story they told. Howard the Duck was great. Just a phenomenal opening of something where we got some really familiar characters, a setting we've been to before in a completely different way. It was really, really well done. The Peter Quill, the second episode, seeing the Avengers of the 80s teaming up, where we got to see Bucky interacting with an older Howard Stark. We got to see more Hank Pym. What If has done a great job by Hank Pym, getting to see him in action season one with him in that great episode where he took out the Avengers. This, we actually get to see him in action as Ant-Man. It's just a lot of fun. You know, What If Iron Man crashed into the Grandmaster? This is an episode that should have been in the first season. They didn't get to it. This was a really fun, over the top, energetic, just an absolute blast all the way through it. The Grandmaster is such a fun villain, such an entertaining watch. There's always something interesting happening with him, and I really, really enjoyed it. I have to take a breath and calm down, because I got a couple more that I want to hit before I talk about the two. There were two episodes in this season that I loved wholeheartedly, one that was absolutely my favorite and one that I really, really enjoyed. So 1602 was a lot of fun. Hela finding the 10 rings was an interesting watch. Putting Hela into Thor's place, but setting it farther back in time, showing Odin in that very antagonistic and aggressive version of Odin that we didn't get to see in the MCU was a lot of fun. I love Wen Wu as a character. I love what they did with the Ten Rings. All of that was great. Again, 1602 is such a fun read in the comics. It was great to see them kind of adapt that, even though it was quite a bit different. It was a lot of fun. And so that leaves me, I've talked about everything, kind of hit on it at least a little bit each one of these episodes. So there are only two left. The two that I found the most entertaining, the ones that I liked the most, were the wonderful introduction of this new character, Kohorti, who is imbued with the power of the Tesseract and is just a breath of fresh air. I mean, this is such a fun, entertaining, beautifully written character, full of hope and anger and revenge, but wanting to do the right thing and just wanting to do what was right by her people and her village, wanting to protect people. And the entire arc that she had from young, kind of impulsive young woman to Avenger, basically, going against these Spanish conquistadors, to a peacemaker, to somebody who is working to bring peace to her world, was a wonderful character arc. I really hope that we see a lot more from her. I hope that she makes some appearances in the comics. I would love to read about this character. And I love that they had the, what word am I looking for? I love that they were brave enough to have it be subtitled. I thought that was fantastic. That's happening more and more, where they're allowing different voices to be heard the way that they're supposed to be. They didn't have someone who is supposed to be speaking another language just speaking English with an accent. And I think that was great. We got the wonderful new version of this Native American culture that have made their way in this inside the Tesseract, essentially. And the very just I know I keep saying generic turns, but this episode was gorgeous. It was beautiful. And I really, really enjoyed Gordy. I want to see more of her. I loved her in the finale. Absolutely loved her in this episode. I really hope that in season three we get more of her. I hope that she makes the jump over into comics and we see her a lot more, because she is a character that is so interesting and entertaining, and the character design is great. The power set is a lot of fun to watch. I really, really enjoyed her. But as much as I loved that episode, my absolute favorite, if you're keeping track, is What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas? Now, I'm looking on here. I'm on IMDb, just looking at the titles of everything to make sure I don't miss anything, because there were nine episodes. And it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas is the lowest rated episode. And I don't understand that even a little bit. Granted, I'm biased. I love Happy Hogan as a character because I'm a huge Iron Man fan. I've been reading Happy Hogan in the comics for decades now. Happy's a great character, and I love Jon Favreau. He's one of my favorite directors, one of my favorite actors. Absolutely love him in the role of Happy. Love seeing him in there. Also, one of the biggest spots that has needed to be corrected, one of the biggest blind spots in the MCU, is Justin Hammer. Sam Rockwell in Iron Man 2 put in such a great, slimy, sleazy performance. I've been begging for him to come back in some form or fashion. I really hope he's coming back for Armor Wars. I don't know. The rumors have been going around about that. There's not been anything officially confirmed that I've seen. So I really hope that he's coming back. This kind of opens the door. But getting Sam Rockwell's Justin Hammer back in this, having it set right around the time of Age of Ultron, where you got the Iron Legion going around, the brilliant setup that Jarvis is being offline for a couple of days as they're working on it, and the Avengers are busy putting on like a Christmas party for the public. Everything really worked in tandem in this for Happy to get to be the star of the show, with some great back and forth between him and Kat Dennings, Darcy. And again, Sam Rockwell's Justin Hammer just getting to chew the scenery and be villainous and ridiculous and over the top. And then on top of everything else, we get Happy Hogan as the freak. For those of you that are not fans of Iron Man from back in the day, Happy Hogan as the Freak, as this Iron Man villain, the Freak, it's something that I've been hoping for so long we would see in some way. They haven't brought it back in the comics for a long time. Happy's actually been dead in the comics for over 10 years now. But I've been hoping that we get some version of the Freak sometime. And man, does he look different than what I would have expected them to do, but he was perfect. I loved Happy getting to Hulk out slowly, where it just started in his leg and then worked its way through, him getting to fight the Hulkbuster, fighting against the Iron Legion, even fighting the Avengers for a moment there. This was just my absolute favorite episode. It was a perfect Christmas episode. I will watch this every Christmas. This is right there. Marvel has been doing a great job with their Christmas fare lately, between Hawkeye, the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special, and now What If Happy Hogan Save Christmas. I've got three new things in my rotation every year now for Christmas. It was just fantastic. Absolutely loved this. The diehard references, the character interactions, the voice acting, the action sequences, everything about it was great. That's hands down my favorite episode of What If Season 1 or 2. And I can't wait to see what they do in Season 3. They've already announced Season 3. It's coming. It's going to be fun. I'm more excited about Season 3 than I was Season 2 because I really think they stepped their game up in the second season, and I can't wait to see what they do. So with all of that down, with all of that out of the way, I'm going to wrap this up so that you guys don't have to hear me ramble on and try and fill dead air by constantly speaking. What did you think about Season 2 of What If? What are you looking forward to in 2022 from the MCU, from Disney, from DC even? We've got a lot of things coming out in 2024. It is going to be a great year. We're going to be here with you all throughout 2024. I'm going to have Ian back. Make sure you're checking out the Paperweight Entertainment podcast. Don't forget to follow the Silver Screen Scoundrels. Follow us on all of the social medias. Interact with us. Check out our website. Check out our merch store. Let us know what you thought about What If Season 2 and what are you looking forward to this year. So for myself, because no one else is here, I have been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment podcast, and we will see you next time.